Today we celebrate the kingship of Christ, King of the universe. And I wanted to reflect upon Jesus as king in John's account. Here we hear Pilate questioning Jesus about his kingship, and you might recognize it as part of John's passion account that we hear on Good Friday, his passion narrative. And some scholars have suggested that John sequenced the events in his account specifically to show Jesus as king during his trial before Pilate. And if we read John's passion account in that sense, with that in mind, we find that this trial and this king is quite peculiar, even outlandish. Strange because his own people had turned him over to the Romans. Strange because everyone knew the penalty for claiming kingship in the Roman Empire. It's strange because this king was liable to death, and yet he didn't seem to pose a threat to anyone. Strange king. And he can prove he has no earthly kingdom. He has no earthly power. He has no fighters. He has no legions in the Roman sense. It's a strange king. And even Pilate exacts the cost on the Jewish leaders in order to accomplish his death. They had to renounce their own heavenly king as they cried out, "We have no king but Caesar." Later, the Jewish leaders would complain to Pilate about that sign that he put on the cross. Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. And that sign provoked one final confrontation between Jesus and the Jewish leaders. Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. And if that wasn't enough, as if to emphasize the universal significance of the announcement, Pilate posts it so that everyone could read it. Romans, Greeks, Jews, three languages. So when they complain to Pilate, his response is, "What I have written, I have written." Right? And by insisting that that wording remain the same, he unknowingly affirms the truth that they were so desperate to deny, this kingship that Jesus is king. So who's the first evangelist? Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate, in spite of himself, announcing the king, "What I have written, I have written," he writes. So Bishop Robert Barron once recalled a Good Friday service he attended a long time ago, in which the reader of those words got them a little out of order. And instead of hearing, "What I have written, I have written," everyone heard, "What have I written? What have I written?" If only he had known what he had written. If only he had known that he was speaking to a real king, a strange otherworldly king. So in John's account with this king, if John is showing us a king, it stands to reason that a king requires a coronation. A new king would be presented to his subjects, in royal garb. His name would be announced, and people would offer cheers for their new ruler. But if this kingdom is not of this earth, then it stands to reason neither would his coronation be. A coronation that was grotesque. And it defied earthly expectations. They did crown this king, as you recall, in their own twisted way. They did adorn him in royal colors. They knelt in front of him and did him homage in their own distorted way. And ironically, Pilate would repeatedly announce before the crowd this Jesus as king. He brings Jesus out in front of the crowd and announces, "Behold your king." And instead of receiving acclaim, what he heard was cries for his execution. "Take him away, crucify him." Jesus is standing there, and Pilate asked, "Shall I crucify your king?" And their response was, "We have no king but Caesar." Instead of being led to his throne by a retinue of loyal subjects and courtiers, they laid his throne across his shoulders to carry. His royal escort, two thieves and some Roman soldiers. And when they arrived at his enthronement place, they took his throne off his shoulders and nailed him to it. But even after death, this king would triumph over death. In his resurrection and his ascension, and he would come to acquire his rightful place at the right hand of the Father to rule over heaven and earth, the entire cosmos, as we acclaim today. So we celebrate that kingship today. In 1925, the encyclical that established this day on our calendar proclaimed that the kingdom of Christ embraces the whole of mankind. By virtue of Christ's kingship, his claim as Redeemer and Creator, that societies as well as individuals owe him obligations as King. And so in closing, I thought I would share just a little part of the encyclical. In the Pope's intent, he wrote, "If Christ our Lord was given all power in heaven and on earth, if all men, purchased by his precious blood, or by a new right subjected to his dominion, if this power embraces all men, it must be clear that not one of our faculties is exempt from his empire. He must reign in our minds, which should assent with perfect submission and firm belief to revealed truths and the doctrines of Christ. He must reign in our wills, which should obey the laws and precepts of God. He must reign in our hearts, which should spurn natural desires and love God above all things and cling to Him alone. He must reign in our bodies and in our members, which should serve as instruments for the interior sanctification of our souls, or to use the words of the Apostle Paul, as instruments of justice unto God." So that's why we celebrate today the solemnity of Christ, the King of the universe. Christ must reign in our minds, in our wills, in our hearts, in our bodies. Christ must reign over all.